You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 137 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with my robot-loving friend, Jeff Gargis.
Robot-loving, I like that.
Well, I have a few reasons for that. First of all, when I talk to your kids, I know that you guys use your Alexa all the time, which is kind of like a robot. And I also want to talk about, I also named you that because you and I were just talking before we got on this episode about our friend who published a book called Rev Up Robotics. And it seemed appropriate for me to like label you as robot loving.
I get it. I'm cool with that. I'm all right with that. Yeah. So we were just talking about that. So that was a nice spin. I like that, right? We were chatting about, it's George Valenzuela, who's a good friend of ours, an amazing educator. You can get that. It's coming out through ISTE. So you can go to the ISTE.org and go to their books and find it. It's Rev Up Robotics. But yeah, it's up for pre-order right now. So
I like this book a lot because he broke it down into three different parts. And I like books that take that approach because that means that no matter where you're at with the concept, you kind of have a way to like slowly get in. Like, I joke with him all the time because I use the word robots and I feel like I sound like a loser because I'm like, I don't know, what's a robot these days? Is that everything a robot? And he picks on me when we talk through Voxer. But this idea of like Rev Up Robotics is not just, you know, how great technology is, but his pull into the classroom was really well done. He gave me a little sampling of this book. So I'm like super stoked that I kind of know what it's about. But the three parts, I think, offers the ability for readers to learn about like the basics of like defining what robotics is, like sharing the real world application, kind of those foundational skills. And whereas part two and part three dive a little deeper into like the practice and the pedagogy and the teaching strategies and kind of like the research behind this approach in the classroom, which I think could kind of meet teachers at a variety of levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking with George about when he was telling us about it, you know, as he was finishing it up and when they figured out like when it was going to be published and stuff, one of the things that he focused on was making sure that it was more of a cross-curricular approach that he took to it. So it's not just about like, here's robotics and this is what it is and here's how you do it, but really about how you can incorporate it into like other things in your classroom and across different curriculums. And he talks about, sort of building it in with computational thinking into different lesson areas and little lesson plans, even into elective and stuff like that. So like he touched on those three parts. I love that he starts with the basics because that's just, you know, really like laying out like the definition of it and what robotics actually is. And like you said, that, and I know what you're excited about is that real world application, because George is like your people because it's not fluff, right? And you know, Ray always says fluff ain't enough, and George is the same way. It's not fluff. It's, let's get into how we actually make this work. And I think that's why we're both so excited about it.
We totally messed this up. Do you know why?
Why?
Because we just did like this like ad for the book and we're not getting paid. He should have paid us to like market his book. Because we're literally on this recording. I'm like, God, we have to talk about George's book. I'm so stoked for it. We just talked about it on Voxer. And I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, we like just promoted the book and he like George is gonna flip when he hears this episode. I'm just saying.
Hey, Ray.
What?
George is paying us.
How much money? Like millions of dollars?
Through friendship.
Oh, come on. How did you connect with George? Do you remember?
Actually, oddly enough, like I connect with George. I can't remember how we initially connected, but how we like started talking is I invited him to come on the podcast.
Nuh-uh. Seriously?
Like, yeah. Sometime last, probably not quite a year ago, close to a year ago, whatever. And then and he talks, like when we had him on podcast, he actually talked about, I don't know if he talked about live or if we talked about afterwards or before the recording, but he talked about how he hadn't like really been, we were like connected through Twitter, but not a lot of interaction. And then after inviting him to the podcast, he started listening and became like an actual listener of the podcast. And then we had him on and that was where we were like, holy cow, like this guy's brilliant. Like, and then we, you know, the friendship has gone and the relationship has built from there. But yeah, it was originally from and George can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think our actual like first like real interaction, other than just being connected, was inviting him onto the podcast. I can't remember what it was or something. I think maybe he and I maybe were in a chat together or somewhere. I saw something he posted, and that's what triggered me to go, "Hey, man, you need to come on our podcast." And then that was it. Just went from there. So,
well, I have cool. to say, like hashtag not an ad, but you have to go follow George to all of our friends. If you're not already, if you already listened to his episode and you didn't follow him, shame on you. But you totally should go follow him now, because I just was stoked that, you know, a lot of our friends write amazing books, and it's kind of just fun to share about them, especially when they launch. Because Jeff, I know I'm like preaching to the choir talking to you about this, but it was so cool watching our book mm-hmm. launch in September. Like that yes. was such a forever memorable 2019 like moment. And so I'm just stoked for him. These are just exciting more things. So.
Yeah, super exciting. If you do want to follow George, he's at George Does PBL, and George is J-O-R-G-E. So J-O-R-G-E Does PBL. And you can follow him there. So awesome. Super excited. I'm glad you brought that up. That was kind of cool. We know we were talking about it, and we were like, oh, let's just wing this intro and we'll figure it out. And then you flipped it. So well done, Ray. Well
done. Let's actually not tag him and see if he notices that we talked about him on this episode. Like, see if he actually...
Yeah, we're not going to say any...
Yeah.
No. Yeah, this is a challenge. So... And we're going to find out whether George is listening or not. That's fun. I like it. I'm all for that. So,
yeah.
So let's flip. So this one, I do know how I connected to our guest. And I connected with this amazing teacher this past summer in Indiana, at a conference, Technovation. I went out and I was talking about podcasts with your students, and this woman jumped right on the podcast and part of the session where we actually start recording, and she just went after it, and she was awesome. And I had invited, I said, if you want to come on the podcast, come on. She came up to me right away, said, I'm in, let's do this. Took us a while to get here, but Kate McFarland, she is a third grade teacher in Northern Indiana, 18th year in teaching right now. You're going to catch it right from the very start of this episode. She is super passionate about what she does. She loves her third graders and loves what she's doing. I love that she describes herself as a coffee drinking, school teaching mama of three. I said that earlier to you. I was reading that and I kind of laughed, and you're like, that perfectly describes her. She is so much fun. This was a great episode. And I think there's so much to gain out of this. And I'm super excited to watch her continue to grow as she's starting to find more ways to share her story and her awesomeness out. Ray, anything you want people to grab from this episode as they dive into it?
Well, a lot of stuff, but she also has a lot of goals for 2020. So like, keep an eye on her. Mm-hmm. She's doing good things and she's putting out a lot of like free content for teachers. So go check all that out.
All right. With that, let's get into episode 137 with Kate McFarland.
Hey everyone, it's Ray. We're going to get right back to the episode, but we have to talk about Mastery Chat real quick. Hashtag Mastery Chat is our conversation every single week over on Twitter, happening Thursday nights at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. I never thought a Twitter chat could be more intense, but holy cow, do I love Mastery Chat nights. Really rich discussion, educators from across the world, and I always leave with a new idea that I'm ready to use in my classroom Friday morning. Don't forget to mark your calendars for Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we will see you over on Twitter. Now let's get back to the episode.
All right, we're here and we are chatting with Kate McFarland, and Kate, is so awesome to have you on the podcast. We've been talking a little bit before we hit record, and we're already laughing, we're already goofing around. We're talking about goals you have and challenging you and how I'm mean to Ray. So it's going well. Been a lot of laughter. So I'm super excited for the episode now. We were already excited, but now I'm like even more excited. So before we get like too deep and start diving into your mind and hearing your story, just want to ask you, how are you feeling right now?
I'm pretty pumped. We've been having fun already, so I'm ready to get into the show.
Yeah, Kate, this is going to be such a fun episode. I can already tell that you and I will, you know, intentionally game up on Jeff, and it'll be wonderful. So would you mind kind of starting us off pretty easy, like no big deal? This is like just a question about you. I just want you to share kind of all that you do in education. And I say that knowing that you do a lot. So good luck.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, my best and most important job is I teach the most awesome third graders on the planet. They're like the best little people ever. I love them, and we dance and we sing and we laugh together every day. So that's the best. I also love when I get to mentor beginning teachers. I've taught at the lab school at Ball State University, and I did tons of it there. We always had teachers, pre-service teachers, working at our school. And right now, I moved away, so I teach in Northern Indiana now, but I have a high schooler that comes over a few times a week, and I love working with her and teaching her. And I'm also a beginning teacher blogger and Teachers Pay Teachers author, so getting started on that and looking forward to developing my own podcast.
Podcast, I know, is going to be great. We already talked about how awesome that's going to be.
Thanks. I'm very excited.
And you're in, remind me what city you're in. You're in Indiana.
I'm in Granger, Indiana. So
we met in Indiana, didn't we?
Yes,
I remember
we
that
did.
Correctly? Yes.
Yeah, at the tech conference over the summer that my school district put on. Yeah. So yeah, we had a great time.
Technovation, right? Technovation?
Yes.
Yeah, shout out to Technovation. The fun one. That was a good time. Yeah, we met and I said, you should be on the podcast. And you said yes. And that's how this relationship formed. It's great.
It did. And I was like the first one to dive right in when you were having us practice on the Anchor app. And everyone was like dying laughing and staring at me. And I was like, you know what? I'm here for it. I'm not going to be embarrassed about it.
Oh, it's all coming back to me now. You didn't even hesitate. Yeah. Oh, she was awesome, Ray. So Ray was not, you weren't with me, were you, Ray?
I wasn't there because I had shoulder surgery.
That's a session, Kate, that a lot of times Ray and I do together. It's a blast.
I'm sure it was.
We always like rush through the beginning because we want to get right to the part where everyone's podcasting and creating things. So like that's like our favorite part. Ray would have loved it there. So anyways, I'm super glad that happened, that you came to that session, that we hit off and you were able to come on here. So I want to dive in and see if you can share a story with us about the time that you've had a failure in your life. Can you kind of take us there with you? Share us what happened. How did you overcome it? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Well, this is a story that I love to tell just because it's entertaining, but it was pretty epic. It was really bad. So I was working at a school in an urban district, and this is back in like, 2003, 2004, kind of the age of accountability was coming about. And we were at a failing school and all the teachers were kind of on edge, and somehow or another, the staff just kind of got split right down the middle. So the staff wasn't getting along. The staff wasn't getting along with the principal. And the principal kept running staff meetings over. And so people started getting up, walking out. And it just got more and more tense every single time. It was just getting ridiculous. And so for whatever reason, this principal did like me. So we did, you know, I did my best to get along with her and respect her. And so she did like me. So some of the staff members went to me and said, she got angry that people were walking out. So she said teachers were no longer allowed to speak in the staff meetings at all. She was going to get in all her content that she wanted to deliver to us. We were not allowed to ask any questions or make any comments whatsoever. So, you know, that didn't really help the tension level any. So if some people came to me and said, you know, you've got to fix this. She likes you. She listens to you. You know, see if you can get her to change her mind. So I racked my brain and I just thought, because I was still a young teacher then. I'd only been teaching for maybe 4 or 5 years back then. So I'm like, what can I do? So I thought I had this amazing idea of having a question box. And I said, what if we put a question box in the staff lounge? And, you know, I know we don't have a lot of time for questions and comments, but we have some, you know, some genuine things that we need to know about. So could we put questions in the question box and you could draw a couple out at each meeting? And that way we could still be heard. You know, the teacher's going to feel like you're hearing them and, you know, maybe we can build that bridge back. So she thinks this is a great idea too. And I'm so happy I've come up with this, you know, awesome suggestion. So first staff meeting, she pulls out the box and is like, okay, the meeting's almost over. I'm going to open the box. She opens the box and, you know, maybe didn't think to pull the questions ahead or kind of, you know, skim scan like you do when you're reading something. And so she read out loud in the staff meeting, why is it fair that the music teacher gets to show videos every day in class and never does any work? Oh, so Yes. The music teacher stood up, slammed her chair on the ground as hard as she could, walked out, slammed the door to the staff meeting. And yeah, everyone just kind of sat there in shocked silence. And it was pretty ugly. And it actually made things worse, if you can believe it.
That's a rough one.
It was bad. Yeah.
So what'd you take away from that?
Well, I wanted to crawl in a hole and die since it was my idea here. And I thought I was, you know, being so smart. But, you know, and I was thinking about that today and reflecting on it. And you know, what did I learn from it? And, you know, sadly, things did get worse. But what I actually learned from that is that sometimes you have to know when a place is not your place or an environment is, you know, becoming toxic for you. And I actually left the school at the end of the year, found a new school to go to, made great friendships, still working, you know, in an inner city environment that I loved, you know, working with kids that really needed me, but just surrounding myself with the right kind of people. And actually the school, they ended up closing down the following year. So yeah.
Glad you got out of it.
So it was a tough situation, but you know, sometimes you have to think about taking care of yourself too and your own emotional needs. And so it was a good time for me to make a move, and I did. So
now let's flip that around. Now let's talk about a successful moment you've had. This can be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And what'd you take away from it?
Okay, so same school. I had one of my lowest lows, but I also had one of my highest highs there. And I was teaching second grade, and we had a group of second graders that were really struggling. We had a high class size. There were only two second grade classes, and we each had 28 or 29 kids that were, you know, we were doing, that was back when we were doing Dibbles testing, and everyone was read and intensive, and they weren't reading. And so the other girl that I taught with, we went out to dinner one night and just said, you know, what can we do? How can we change this? So we came up with the idea of co-teaching all the kids in one classroom. So we had this big multi-purpose room at the end of the hallway and moved all the kids into the same room. And we both taught in there full time. And we had a Title I reading teacher that pushed in, and we had a literacy coach that pushed in, and we just made up this big schedule and just got really intentional and had all these small groups going on. And so we were able to just really turn it around and have a really successful year. So for me, it was a big success because it was the first time I did co-teaching, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I wish everyone could have the opportunity to co-teach, but also because we were able to just really turn things around for our kids.
I love co-teaching situations. I think that's awesome that you found somebody that you can work with and that, you know, you can partner with to make sure those situations turn out best for students. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, you definitely have to have the right person. I've done it two times and it's worked out really well both times, but I think you have to be a really good fit.
Absolutely. So with everything you've done in education, I mean, obviously you've seen some lows and you've experienced some highs. How are you staying motivated? You know, what really fuels your fire and keeps you excited about education these days?
I think one thing that I'm doing is just a lot more connecting with other educators and being online, being involved in Instagram and Facebook groups and, you know, subscribing to some educational magazines and just really, you know, stretching myself professionally, I think.
Yeah, that's so important, especially now with the, you know, access that we have to social media with the internet and everything in between. I mean, geez, I mean, isolation right now is such a choice. We can really choose to, you know, build a network and connect and participate in those really important conversations.
I agree. I think it's just incredible because, you know, when I first started teaching, you were just in your room all day long and you had the people around you. And, you know, like I said, that could be positive or that could be negative. But I was lucky my first year to have some really wonderful mentor teachers that helped me, and I'll never forget that everything that they taught me. So that's why I really love the time. One of the times that I co-taught with a beginning teacher. So my principal just basically said, I want you to teach her, you know, the way that you teach. I want you to help her. And so I said, great, we're going to co-teach them. And she said, okay. And so I was able to work with her and mentor her for 3 years. And it was just incredible. But But now there's so many other, you know, choices just besides who's in your building. On Instagram, I'm connected with teachers in Canada, Australia, Nigeria. It's just, it's incredible. I love it.
Absolutely. I credit so much of what I've learned in education to the amazing mentors I've had. I actually got to talk about some of them in one of our courses, like at teachbetteracademy.com, is about mentoring. And I'm like, my introduction is about the impact of great mentors. And now, you know, not only having mentors that were in person in my school, but also mentors online is amazing. I mean, that's the best part. And I know you're really active on Instagram. I mean, there's so many ways to get connected now that everybody should be able to find their perfect fit, which is so cool to watch.
I think so too. It's awesome.
So with your time, obviously learning from mentors and being a mentor, I'm confident to so many. What's one piece of advice that you feel like new teachers need, or really any teacher who's eager to learn? What type of advice would you provide them to continue forward in this progressive education?
Well, I think the good thing, you know, we talked about there's so many things out there, but I think that also can be really overwhelming when you're just beginning and you see all these teachers out there and they're doing this and they're doing that, or their classroom looks perfect, or, you know, whatever it is. So I think my main piece of advice for new teachers is always just, you know, think of teaching like a taco. You're just going to layer it in. You know, the first year, you're going to start and just pick a few things and get really good at those things. And if you have to pick, if I was picking for a new teacher, it would definitely be classroom management and building relationships with students and parents. I see a lot of young teachers that just try to avoid talking to parents at all. And I wish that they could realize, like, the more you talk to your students and the more you talk to their parents, the better they're going to trust you. And then when something does go wrong or you do have an issue, that you then have that foundation in that relationship. So building relationships, getting that classroom management piece together to start with, I think is key, because really anything you're trying to teach, anything you're trying to achieve, it's not going to happen if you don't have those pieces. And then as you go, then you're going to layer in new things each year. And, you know, that's what makes it like a taco, because then you can add all the fun toppings later on, but just build a really good foundation. And, you know, and then over time, then you're going to develop into that amazing educator that everyone wants to be.
I'm suddenly hungry right now.
I love to talk about.
I really love the analogy of being a taco. That's really cool. I like the way you lay that out. So, I want to ask you. I know you do a decent bit on teachers pay teachers. And yes. So I'm wondering if I could throw a curveball at you here and just ask you. So if I'm a teacher listening, and I've thought, I've looked at teachers pay teacher. Maybe I've even, you know, gotten some stuff off there. I have a lot to share. I'm interested in maybe putting some stuff up there. Do you have some good advice for sort of how to get started? What do you need to think about? What's the best first steps if I'm someone who wants to maybe sell some stuff and share some stuff on Teachers Pay Teachers? Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. Well, what I did was, you know, I had kind of looked around. There's a lot of different tutorials and things on YouTube like that, but I actually decided to take a course and have a business coach. So I don't know if you know about Casey Morris, of Teaching on Less, but I took her course this summer and it was fantastic. And she now has a membership. So that's what I did. And she teaches teachers all about how to get started and how to build a blog and how using a blog can drive traffic to your TPT. And there was just a lot more to it than I thought. So you can definitely get started just by watching some YouTube videos and learning how to master PowerPoint and, you know, convert things into PDFs to sell. But if you're really, like, for me, I'm really interested in eventually building a membership that teachers can subscribe to. So if you're really looking to take it next level, like to develop a course or a membership, then I would suggest you take her course or maybe find yourself another business coach, because there's a lot to it.
Very cool. I like that. And I'll make sure I'll throw a link to Casey Morris's site, which is caseymorris.com, and it's KaseyMorris.com. I'll include that on the show notes as well, so you can get that and check that out. So awesome. All right, let's go on to this. Let's have some fun. We're going to do the next six questions. Your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you could not live without?
Flipgrid. I love Flipgrid.
What book are you reading right now?
Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Classic. Who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
I love Eddie B comedy because I think we all just need to laugh.
What's a good YouTube channel or website for educators?
I just recently got introduced to classroomscreen.com. I love it.
And give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
One thing I started doing this summer was keeping a gratitude journal. So I just think it's important to reflect on the good things you have in life.
Agreed. And lastly, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
My very first year of teaching, my mentor teacher told me, "This too shall pass." And she used to say it all the time. And it's so true. If you ever get really down or really discouraged, no matter what, just always remember, "This too shall pass and things will get better."
I think you get the trophy.
A trophy?
"This too shall pass" is a great one. I mean, it's totally true. Every moment we all get sucked into those really tough situations or we feel like it's never ending, it's just so important that we acknowledge that, hey, like, everything moves forward. I love it.
It is. It applies to everything, teaching or your personal life or whatever it is. You know, it's just a good little mantra to tell yourself when you get down. So
Kate, I want to make sure that everybody is able to stay connected with you and continue to learn from all that you've been able to share. So would you mind kind of sharing with us your Instagram handle, your website, everything that teachers can use to stay connected to all that you're doing?
Sure. I am on Twitter, Kate McFarland, but I don't tweet a lot. I'm just now kind of getting into Twitter, but I'm definitely big on Instagram, on using Instagram. So that's primarily P-R-I-M-A-R-I-L-Y, primarily Kate. And my website is primarilykate.com. And my Facebook page is Primarily Teaching. And I have a YouTube channel, but I haven't made a video yet. I'm pretty excited. I got a ring light and a microphone and stuff for Christmas. So that was on my list. So my goal is to start making some YouTube videos and doing some Facebook lives. So
loving it. And you know, you can find all the links and resources and everything we've talked about over at teachbetter.com, as well as those really important links for connecting with Kate and keeping the conversation going and seeing when she makes that first YouTube video. So head over to teachbetter.com for the show notes for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really appreciate that as well. And let's keep taking this one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share this podcast with them. Kate, this was awesome. I'm so happy that we met this summer out in Indiana, and that you jumped all over the podcasting, and then you jumped all over my invitation to come on the show. It was a while ago, and so I'm glad, you know, what the date finally got here, and we got to make this happen. I really appreciate coming on and just sharing your story. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I appreciate you guys having me. I had a great time.
And with that, let's get out there and let's teach better.